Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. Thank you for coming tonight. Once again, Wednesday and a thunderstorm. That's two Wednesdays in a row if you're keeping track. Next week, we'll go for the hat trick. But anyway, big clap of thunder earlier this afternoon. At least I could hear it here. I don't know if you heard it wherever you were or if you were taking an afternoon rest. Maybe you didn't hear it. But anyway, a little bit of rain passing through. So glad we could gather together tonight, praying that God would be honored and glorified in our midst, and praying for Brother Ryan as he'll be preaching here in just a few minutes. Thankful for that, and just waiting to see what God is going to do in each of our hearts and lives tonight. Let's stand together, please, if you're able to. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll give our theme verse, and then we get to sing some praises together to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the facility, Lord, that we have to use tonight. Thank you for providing us with this place. Thank you for the finances to pay the rent and the hydro. Thank you for the safety in getting here. If others are still coming, we pray the same for them. We thank you for to be able to have a live stream, and those that might not be well or maybe getting off work late and joining in, thank you for the live stream. And we pray that you would just be honored and glorified in this meeting. We need your leading of your Holy Spirit through every part of it. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible that will be preached in a little bit. We pray that you would use the preacher and your word tonight to speak to our hearts, and that we would be willing to say yes to whatever you want for us tonight, that we would be yielded to your will throughout this evening. Please, Father, every one of us in this room has something on our heart tonight, I'm sure of it. And we might have a physical need, a financial need, just a silent prayer request, just something on our heart tonight. And I pray, God, that throughout this meeting, there would be something that we would recognize you're speaking directly to us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. 2 Timothy 3:14. Praise the Lord for his word. Song number 403. 403. And I hope we can say a hearty yes to this song, because it's a question. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? We'll sing all the verses, please. 403.
Remain standing if you would, please. 403. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is. Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love, it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus wonderful it is. On that last now, love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love. Sing it out now. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Great singing, church. Let's turn one page over to your left. 401
401. Is it the crowning day? Hopefully, this is going to become a more familiar song for many of us here. Is it the crowning day? 401. Let's sing it out, especially if you know it.
Jesus may come today. Glad day, glad day. And I would see my friend. Dangers and troubles would end if Jesus should come today. Glad day, glad day. Is it the crowning day? I'll live for today. Glad day, glad day. Is it the crowning day? I may go home today. Glad day, glad day. Seemeth I hear their song. Hail to the radiant throng. If I should go home.
The fourth on the last now.
Faithful I'll be today. Glad day, glad day. And I will freely tell why I should love him so well. For he is my all today. Glad day, glad day. Is it the crown?
People said, amen. You may be seated in the congregation.
All right. Thank the Lord for the coming of the Lord, and he's coming soon. Let's make sure we're getting ready for the Lord's return. If you did not get a prayer page, we can bring one to you. Is there anyone that did not get one? All right. We've got a few hands up. I tried to cover, but thank you, Brother Kim, for making it up for me. There you go. We'll obviously be going over that in a little while. Also, I came across four of these. They were actually made with the purpose of protecting your tracks. These are track protectors. Sometimes maybe you have them in your purse, ladies. clarify that. Whoa, I'm out of tracks. What do you know? Okay, I guess I'm not going to show you. Anyway, does anybody have one right there? My pocket is empty.
Thank you.
And there we go. We got them coming from everywhere now. There we go. And so I don't know if they fit these or not. Kind of tight. Kind of tight, for there is hope. But the idea is to put, they're too tight actually. So maybe the other one, maybe the one for, okay, we're going to try them right now. That's good. Good day. Thank you, Pastor Kevin. Yep, that's it. Brother Kevin gave me the one that would work a little bit better, kind of tight there even. Anyway, whatever you'd like to use these for. Or, oh, that's right. You can lay him in there. Is that what you do, babe? Ah, okay. I should have asked you first. My bad. So my wife just lays them in there like so. You don't have to put them in. Then she has these in her like that. They're not very feminine looking, but, or you guys can use them too. They're not just for ladies. But I found four of these here. Oh, here's one. Look at this one. This one's a little bit more narrow and whatever. I don't know which ones you put in there. But anyway, they're here. You know, they're just sitting here, and I got a couple of them got a few tracks in them now. If you'd like one of those, just take one with you tonight. We have a few more of these booklets available. There's no charge for these. What is the meaning of the Lord's Supper, and what is the meaning of Christian baptism? There's some on the back table, so when the service is over, if you'd like to get one of those, or you can come get these, they're available to you tonight. And these are good little booklets to have and learn more about the things of the Lord. A few things by way of announcement, 7 o'clock. Oh, also the ladies' sign-up sheet. Is it back there, Brother Ryan? Do you see a sign-up sheet anywhere? No sign-up sheet? Okay. If you're planning to go to the ladies' night out, which is this coming Tuesday, and you have not signed up yet, could you please see my wife tonight and let her know that? And that way she can write it down and we'll get you on the sign-up sheet. It just helps with preparation and getting things set up for that evening. That's this coming Tuesday. That's for all ladies who are in grade 7 and up. Grade 7 and up. 6:30 is the start time for that. Before we get to that, though, this Friday is RU, so let's be praying for that. Thankful for that ministry that continues on. Outreach, 10 a.m., prayer meeting 10 a.m. right here on Saturday, and then 10:30 is our outreach time. 4 o'clock, men. I would really encourage all of our men. This is for anyone that is outside of high school. So you're outside of high school. You've already graduated. And to come at 4 o'clock on Saturday and just have some fellowship together. And as I mentioned a couple of different times, you don't have to preach. It's not coming up and standing at the pulpit. But if you could find one Bible verse that spoke to your heart this week, and I hope we could all do that, right? Because we need to be in the Bible all the time, every day. But just bring one Bible verse and just share it. 30 seconds. This Bible verse spoke to my heart. You know, let's see. You could go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, I think it is. Rejoice evermore. See? And that would just be simple, too. Just kidding. You do need to rejoice evermore, though. But anyway, so that's Saturday at 4 o'clock. And I'd like to just take a few minutes in that meeting to talk to you men about the future of Anchor Baptist Church regarding a men's ministry and different things like that, if you would. And so that's at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Sunday is the deadline. If your child is going to go to Portland, we need to know by Sunday. We have the teenagers are going to be presenting the evening service on Sunday. We call it Teen Takeover. They're going to be leading every part of the service at 6 o'clock upstairs, and so we're looking forward to that. And we also have a baptism on Sunday night. And just so you know, we have decided not to have the birthday and anniversary fellowship this week, so we're not having that this Sunday night, but we're going to move that to November. There's much going on in and around this coming Sunday, and so we will do that. So maybe spread the word as you see people. All right, and then it's a prayer request, but we'll mention it. Missions Conference is coming up October 27 to 30. All right, Brother Kevin is doing our missions moment tonight, and if you'll get your prayer letter out, prayer page out, please, and on the back we have three missionaries that we're going to be highlighting tonight.
Actually, as far as I understand, Brother Molina's ready, so come on down. Thank you, sir.
There you go. That's why he smiled at me.
I'm not as young as Brother Kevin, but I'll try my best in reading.
There you go.
You know, those track things, they remind me of checkbooks. I don't know if you guys remember when you went to the store and had to sign checks. I remember my parents had one. I think I had one, but I never used it, but... Anyways, if you have your prayer page, you can take it out and jot down some of these blessings and prayer needs that these missionaries have. These missions moments, we lift these missionaries up for the week. So if you can, we'll make mention of them in our prayers tonight. But make mention of them in your prayer before you go to bed and when you wake up. And every time you pray throughout the whole week until. Thank you very much. Our first missionary is the Bowman family. Brother Eric is the Africa field director there, and he writes, Dear praying friends, there are few things that thrill us more than serving the Lord on the African continent. In our recent travels, we went to Côte d'Ivoire, which is the Ivory Coast, where we were privileged to teach and preach the ministries of Bob and Becky Mock, who have labored there for nearly 30 years. We later held a field conference and many of our missionaries in the West Africa region. It was a wonderful time of fellowship and instruction. Afterwards, we traveled to the Republic of the Congo and spent time with Caleb and Kelsey Cavaness, who has just completed their first year on the field. Amen. After finishing French language school, they went to the Congo and now is learning the language of Lingala, one of the main languages in the country. We're so grateful of how they will, how well they are learning and adapting to this new country. And in the meantime, a new church has been planted with our former ministries in Kenya. Our national leadership started this church several months ago in the village of Nagarenarok among the Turkana people. There have been 131 decisions for Christ, and 28 have been recently baptized.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for all he is doing with our missionaries and our national labors. Let's pray for more. Until nations hear, Brother Eric Bowman.
Amen.
Next, we have our Team Eurasia. And this letter is dated August, September, 2024. And it says, he writes, "Praise the Lord for an encouraging news and great opportunities. We're overwhelmed with gratitude as we witness God moving in the ministry. So far, we've been able to acquire all the necessary documents for the new type of visa in the country where God has called us to serve. After submitting the paperwork, we are thrilled to receive pre-approval for two days later after submitting their application. This is a major step in the process of returning to the country that we are serving in. Our next urgent prayer request is for an appointment at the consulate, which the country they are serving in, the consulate in Chicago. So please join us in prayer as we take this next step towards getting back to the field where the Lord has called us." Another exciting update is the progress with printing Bibles. The project is nearing its final stages, and we are on the verge of having it ready to print. This is a significant milestone, and we are praying for 2,000 high-quality Bibles that can, that will be able to distribute as gifts to pastors across the country. Once the Bible is printed, we are upgrading our website for a more user-friendly and it's to be searched online. Looking ahead, we have several media goals next year to have the entire Old Testament professionally audio recorded to update the Bible app. Additionally, we plan to register our online radio station, so please pray fervently as we know the enemy will oppose these efforts. But we trust God and is able to overcome every obstacle. God has been also blessing our family as we travel, not only meeting our needs, but also opening doors for ministry. We've seen souls saved, powerful preaching, and sweet fellowship with God's people.
Amen.
I ask for your prayer for our daughter as she would be staying behind for Bible college when we return to the country. She is currently looking for accommodations and a good, appropriate job to support her while she studies. So please pray that God will provide exactly what she needs. Continue to pray for the work for the country we're in, as many of our co-laborers are facing challenges with their visas. One of our dear friends who has faithfully served for many years is in need of a miracle. He and his family have developed relationships and have seen many Muslims come to Christ. However, their visa has been recently denied, and they need God's intervention to continue their ministry. This precious family from Mexico has given so much and tried everything in their power to remain in the country, but we trust God's timing and direction for them. Lastly, I ask that you keep our building project in your prayers. This is a primary reason we are back in the States to raise funds. We trust that God blesses even the smallest gift when it is given in faith. I encourage you to visit. He leaves a website here in his prayer letter where they post updates each month, highlighting the progress that and the much that has been raised. Every prayer and every gift make a difference, and we believe God will provide in his perfect timing. Our team family to Eurasia. And lastly, we have the coats to Quebec. For those of you who don't know, last Wednesday we had Brother Brian Thiessen here preaching. That's Brother Josiah Coates' uncle.
Amen.
That's his uncle.
Amen. Thank you.
So Brother Josiah writes, I'm so thankful that in serving the Lord, we need not to find our own way and figure out things out on our own, but rather that it is he who leads us in the perfect way.
Amen.
Through admittedly, it can be at times the hardest thing to do. All we must do is simply depend on our good and loving God and follow him. Praise God for his love and grace as we all learn to trust him more. This has certainly been the case for us as we serve here in Quebec. God continues to lead in his timing for us to take part in his plan. We're excited to share how the Lord is leading in our ministry, but with it, an important prayer request. The missionary pastor of Pastor Waugh's sending church will be on furlough in the States from the end of October until roughly May of 2025. This time away has been necessitated for their family due to the difficult family situations. I will be stepping in to help this church by preaching once a month in their absence. Through prayer and Pastor Waugh's guidance, we see this as the next step of our preparation as pastoral ministry experience.
Amen.
Please pray for us in this time as we serve in this way, but especially for one Église Baptiste de la Vieille Capitale. It's the old Capital Baptist Church. During the absence of their pastor, as well as for their pastor and his family,
Amen.
This opportunity. Our children are growing fast, and it is a blessing to see how they are becoming. Lydia will be 5 in February, and she has recently learned to write her name and do some basic math.
Wow.
The twins just celebrated their 3rd birthday last week. They are getting to be very big boys, and Matthias also just learned to ride his bike, which he enjoys doing while the kids get outside before it gets too cold. We also look forward to seeing our boys as big brothers as God is blessing our family with a 4th child due in May. We are thankful for this special blessing from the Lord. Please pray for Elizabeth during this pregnancy, especially with the extra fatigue while having to care for 3 other children. I still help as extra as I'm able to, but continually need the Lord's wisdom to find the necessary balance. We are thankful that everything is going well and at this point. Praise God for his faithfulness and kindness to us as he leads us in his path.
Amen.
What a privilege to serve the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We thank you for your continued prayers as we follow God's leading for our service to him here in French Canada. By God's grace for his glory, Josiah and Elizabeth Coates. Thank you, everybody. We're going to take these missionaries to prayer, lift them up in prayer right now. But if you can, remember to lift them up this week in your prayers also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, for tonight, Lord, and listening to all these letters. Lord, we please bless each and every missionary, Lord, that we support, Lord, in the field, Lord, and especially these 3 that we're lifting up today. Thank you so much for the Coates family, Lord, and for their work there in Quebec, Lord. Thank you so much for Brother Josiah, Lord, for stepping up, Lord. And I pray for this church, Lord, and the old capital there. I pray for the people there, Lord, as their pastor goes on furlough, Lord, that you bless them, Lord, and encourage them. Use the speakers and use Brother Josiah, Lord. Thank you so much for their 4th child, Lord, that's coming. I pray, Lord, that you bless our sister, Lord, with the strength, Lord, that she needs, and that you bless her health, Lord, during this pregnancy, and give her the strength, Lord, that she raises those other young ones too. We thank you so much for them, Lord, in Quebec. And for Brother Bowman, Lord, I thank you so much for him. Lord, thank you so much that he was be able to spend some time with this dear couple, Lord, who's been serving there for 30 years, Lord, in the Ivory Coast, Lord. I pray that you continue to bless their ministry, Lord, and provide for them financially also, Lord. Thank you so much for this couple in the Congo, Lord. I believe it's a dangerous place, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you provide a hedge of protection about them, Lord, and that you bless them, watch over them. Thank you so much. May you please help them with their language, learning the language there, Lord, and that you use them in a mighty way, Lord, to see people of Congo, Lord, get saved. Lord, and we thank you so much. Thank you so much for this new church in Kenya, Lord, that's been started by the leaders there, the national leaders. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to grow that church and use it, Lord, for the free course of the gospel, Lord, there in that part of Kenya. Lord, we thank you for that. And for our team Eurasia, Lord, thank you so much for the necessary paperwork that got approved, Lord, in a few days. And it is your will for them to be there, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you use them in a mighty way. Protect them, Lord. Help them to win souls for you. And Lord, thank you so much for this dear family, Lord. Lord, we're praying for a miracle, Lord, for them. Lord, they need you, Lord. They need to be in the country, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will help them to find the government to find favor with them and that they will grant them, Lord, and extend their visa that they need. Thank you so much for all the Bibles, Lord, that are being printed. I pray, Lord, that you bless every page, Lord, and that they'll have free course, Lord, there in the country and that people will be able to find it online also. And Lord, and get to know more about you and your love, Lord, and be saved. Thank you so much for their building project. And I pray, Lord, that you help them in raising the funds and finding laborers, Lord, to help them with that project, Lord, and that you will use that building for your glory and honor. Lord, we love and thank you so much, Lord. Please bless our service here, Lord, and that you bless the speaker, Lord, and fill him with your spirit. Lord, we love and thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much. Wow, praise the Lord for all these missionaries that God allows us to support. I did want to mention, just before Brother Ryan comes, that last week we had a missionary update for the Reitzel family. How many of you remember the update from the Reitzel family and that they needed 25 chairs? And we put that out. I actually contacted him that night before I went to bed, and pardon me, or maybe it was the next morning, I can't remember now. But anyway, he wrote me back within like 10 minutes, and he said they're $25 U.S. Of course, we're sending Canadian funds to a U.S. mission agency, and so there's a little bit of conversion. So I just went a little bit high to make sure that they would. So anyway, long story short, we've taken in, I think, $610 since last Wednesday. We need 700. We went ahead and sent the 700 by faith, and we need 90 more dollars to come in to cover that. And so that's just since last Wednesday. And so he was very excited that God supplied those 25 chairs, or 20 chairs, excuse me. I got number all kind of $25, 20 chairs, 35, sorry. It was 20 chairs. And so praise the Lord for that. And that's over and above our faith promise. That's over and above our support. We just wanted to be a blessing, and I believe the Lord will bless us as we take care of others in that way. And so thank you for giving. Thank you for giving to that. And if you would like to still give, we do. I think it's about $90 more, and then we will have that. We're so thankful, Lord, to have Brother Ryan here tonight preaching for us. He's been a great help since coming back from Bible college, helping in many different ways. And right now, kind of learning the Patch Club as well and learning how that works. And so thank you, Brother Ryan, for all of your help. But get your Bible out, please, if you would. And Brother Ryan, you come and give us the message God's laid on your heart. Oh, I got my flashlight's on.
Yeah. I was blinded back there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to throw a curveball at you guys. Turn to Haggai chapter 1.
Yeah. And
the Haggai, it's in the end of the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1. It's a privilege to be preaching here once again. Haggai chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 11. I'll read. Verse 1 says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, and the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, while in this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have so much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And to he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came in little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is in waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor of the hands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening, Lord. We thank you that we are able to all come to your house, Lord, to hear from you, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to everyone here, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Pray that you'd give me the words to say, Lord. And I pray that all glory to you, Lord. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So in this passage, it's maybe an unfamiliar passage, but this is after the Israelites have been released from captivity. And they go back to Jerusalem, and they are ordered to, firstly, they begin to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, and then God wants them to rebuild the temple. But they stop. You can see they stop. It's in verse 2. It says, This people say, thus speaketh the Lord of the hosts, saying, This people say, so Israel says, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. So they quit the process of rebuilding the temple, and Haggai, he comes as prophet. He prophesies. He comes and we see there in verse 4, it says, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? So the Lord's house, the temple, is it's not finished. They have not finished building. But it says there that their houses are already sealed. They have roofs. They worked on their own houses. They completed their homes there. And so I want to speak tonight on comfortability. And we all know what it's like to be comfortable. You've been in pastor's office. He's got a nice chair in there. He's got a nice lazy boy. We all know what it's like to be. We all want to be comfortable. I have a funny story. I don't think, Pastor, I've never told you this. Back on when we used to meet on Armstrong, when our meetings were in the afternoon, on those summer days, I'm telling you, those chairs were very comfortable. And I mean, put you to bed comfortable. And I remember when you know, if you've ever dozed off in church, you always wonder, oh, can the pastor see me? Can the pastor see me? Does he know? I'm not sure if you remember this, Pastor, but I was sitting on the edge too, right on the edge of the aisle, and I was dozing off. That chair was comfortable. And Pastor said, he was preaching, but then he said something along the line of, Christians need to wake up. And then he looked at me. and that woke me up. Being comfortable isn't always the best thing. So we're gonna look into that topic tonight. You see in this passage that God's people, they stopped doing his will and they settled down. And instead of building the temple like they were commanded, they focused on building their own homes and they focused on their own comfortability. Sometimes in our Christian life, we can become too comfortable. Now this does not mean, you know, we run from God or we rebel against God or, you know, we fall into sin. Getting too comfortable, it doesn't mean, you know, we stop going to church or anything, but maybe being too comfortable means all we're doing is going to church. Maybe that's it. Being too comfortable is when you stop pressing forward for the Lord. It is when we become stagnant Christians who do not complete the will of the Lord. Getting comfortable is something that we can't allow. And in we're going to look into that tonight. So if you're taking notes, your first point can be, why do Christians get too comfortable? Now, if you know your Bible, you know, if you know the story, you would know what I mean when I say one of the reasons Christians get too comfortable is, number one, when blessings abound. So in the story, many of you know that historically the Israelites, they were in captivity for quite a while. And we get lots of our Bible stories from this time. We see when they're first taken into captivity, that's where there's the story of Daniel, and there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We just had a series on Esther recently, and that all takes place during Israel's captivity. And then we also get to the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and that's after they are released from captivity, and they're allowed to go back to, some of them go back to Jerusalem, and so they're free. And once they're free, they go back and they begin to build the wall, because they're happy, you know, they're encouraged. They just got out of captivity, so they head home with all this zeal, and they start building the wall, and they eventually get that done in record time. And then, but by the time it gets to building the temple, we see they stop. They start working on it, but eventually the work is interrupted. Instead, they start building homes for themselves. And they live their own life, and they seemingly forget about the temple. And you may think, like, how could you forget this? You know, God just let you out of captivity, you know, rebuilding the temple for him is the least you can do. But, you know, I think we find as Christians that can be the same. We can find ourselves in the same situation. When we're in captivity, not literally, but maybe figuratively, when we're going through tough times, that's when God's real. That's when you know God's there, you're praying to him. But once we're out of captivity, once the blessings start coming in, sometimes we can find ourselves in the same situation as the Israelites. When everything's going well, you know, when our jobs are going well, school's going well, it's times like these where we can think that we have everything we need. And that's when we forget that we need Jesus in our lives. When we're off well financially, you know, when we have a nice house, we have the biggest TV Costco can offer, you know, sometimes, you know, we become content with those things. And we forget, you know, who brought those blessings in. And it's dangerous because we need to remember that we need God in our lives. Or else we begin to settle down. We begin to get comfortable. We'll stop searching for him. We'll stop searching for the Lord. And we'll stop obeying his will. And again, this especially happens when we fail to acknowledge that these blessings are from him.
Amen.
You know, if the Israelites constantly thought of how it was God who brought them out of captivity, I think they would have pursued in rebuilding the temple. But we see that they stopped. When good times come, we can't settle down. We need to remember who those blessings are from and who those good times are from. The good times are from the Lord and the bad times. And we need to follow God during both. We often hear of how during tough times, during struggles, during discouragement, we need to keep pressing for the Lord. And that's good, but when everything's going well, when everything's all sunshine and rainbows, that's when, you know, we're encouraged, we're up, but we still need to focus on the Lord. And you may think it's easy, like, oh, I'll be happy. If I get everything I need, then I'll follow God. But I think that's when we have everything we think we need, that's when we can forget who we really need. So one of the reasons Christians get too comfortable is when blessings abound. Another reason is misplaced priorities. Again, I'll read verse 2. It says, verse 4. Is it time for ye, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? So we obviously know that they had to put effort and time and material into building their own homes. So there was no shortage of those. There was no shortage of laborers to build the temple, because they clearly built homes. They clearly had their priorities set elsewhere. And in verse 2, it's interesting. It says, the Israelites, they say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. The Israelites looked at the circumstances around them. We don't know exactly what those were, but they thought that they knew what was best. And I'm sure at some point, you know, in time, God has led you to do something, and you felt it wasn't the right timing, because timing is important. Timing is everything. But, you know, you felt led to do something, but you don't think it's a good time. And so you sit back, relax, and you say, you know, Lord, I know you want me to do this, but I need to wait for the right moment. You tell the Lord that, hey, you need to wait, you know, as if we would know anything about right timing. God's timing is as perfect as his will, and we cannot ever lie to ourselves and convince ourselves that we know what is best. Being comfortable is not worth the opportunity to serve the Lord. Though we don't think of it often, you know, as we go through our day, people, you know, we prioritize things. It's just something, you know, we do on a day-to-day basis. You know, something's more important than this. Eating's more important than this. You know, I'll do this after. I need to get here first. So we prioritize things. And, you know, wherever we go, whenever we go, we're always praise the Lord for those who prioritize coming to church tonight on this Wednesday evening. But without thinking about it, you know, we just always, we figure out what's most important and we do that. Without thinking, most of the time, our minds almost instinctively prioritize ourselves and our comfortability first. I don't want to say that all the time, but, you know, most of the time, whatever situation comes, if it's good or bad, you know, me is always first. But the Christian life is not about comfortability. Right. It's about sacrifice. Right. It's about serving. Right. It's about generosity. It's about patience. And all of these things can make you, you know, uncomfortable at times. You know, we don't want to have to be patient. Sometimes we don't want to serve. The Christian life is not about knowing the future. I'm sorry, the Christian life is about not knowing the future, but following God, knowing he will keep you sustained, he'll support you, and he will provide for you. So what are we prioritizing, you know, on our day-to-day basis? What do we prioritize most? What is anything being prioritized over serving the Lord? Do friends come before God? Does work come before God? Do we just not have enough time? We ought to be making time for the Lord. Yes. Do we want to, you know, maybe we need to make time for the Lord because, you know, if we think, oh, you know, I just need to be, I'll do this later. But God's time is always right. You know, do we want to be financially stable? Is that prioritized over the Lord? We need to remember that God will provide. If God wants you to buy a chair over in Spain, if you didn't have the funds to do that, we learned about someone in Patch Club. He had, I forget his name, I was going to use him. He only had $30 and he needed to pay for his fare. He was a missionary in China and he was traveling over a river and he needed to pay for a ferry. He had $30, but a friend of his needed $20. And so that's quite a dilemma. And it was a pricey fare. He needed all his money. But instead he gave that money to his friend to help him out. And so now he was left with $10. And then on his way to the ferry, he's trusting the Lord. He trusts that the Lord would provide. And someone stopped him on the dock and said, hey, are you going to the city in China? He said, yes. He said, I'll take you there for $7. Because he had a cargo ship, and he was able to take this missionary across the river.
Good.
You see, he trusted God to provide, even, you know, when it didn't make sense. You know, he needed that $30, but he trusted God. So there are so many physical things that can come between us and serving God. And then there's also emotional things. So the third reason we get too comfortable as Christians is misplaced emotions. A a reason that I think the Israelites might have stopped building the temple, a reason that they might have got too comfortable, was mistrust. They didn't trust in the Lord. Building the temple would have, you know, no doubt taken a lot of, it was a big temple, and that would have been made of types of stone and a lot of wood. And it would no doubt taken up a lot of resources. It says in verse 6, "Ye have so much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." So you see, they're living their lives still. They're going out, they're sowing, they're reaping, they're still working their jobs, they're getting paid, but they're not prospering at all.
Right.
I think that this might have caused, this might have been part of the, another reason that they didn't ever restart building the temple. Because now, you know, they need this money, they need this material because they're not prospering. And so they don't trust in the Lord, just like I mentioned. They say, we need these finances, we need this material. And they focused on their own jobs. Like, hey, it says they're earning wages to put it into a bag with holes. That means, you know, they're losing money. So
right.
But again, if they maybe just trusted in the Lord, and perhaps, you know, perhaps they were being stingy, perhaps it would have turned out differently. Maybe it was pride. So maybe that was another emotion that caused them to become too comfortable. Because maybe they wanted to, maybe it was, pride is essentially selfishness. Maybe they wanted their own home before working on the temple. Maybe that's something that they chose to focus on deliberately. Another thing is discouragement. There are many people who tried to stop the building of the temple. And I'm going to turn and my Bible back to Ezra. Ezra chapter 4. Ezra was one of the Israelites who went back. And when the Israelites, Nehemiah, Ezra, all these characters, they were trying to build the wall, build the temple, they were met with a lot of adversaries, a lot of scoffers. And in Ezra 4, it says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto him, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. We do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assur, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chiefs of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build the house of God, a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus the king of Persia hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, and troubled them in building." So we see Ezra comes before Haggai, and this is at the beginning, when they are building the temple. So right now, you know, maybe you could say they're on fire for the Lord. But these people, I believe they're Samaritans, that says the adversaries of them, of Judah, they come and they say, hey, let us help you build the temple. And then it says, we'll serve your God as ye do, and we will do sacrifice, we do sacrifice unto him. Now, if someone came up to you and said, oh, yeah, let me serve your God. I'll give offerings. I'll put money in the offering, or, you know, I'll serve. You'd understand that that's not how that individual gets saved. And at this time, the Israelites were to have nothing to do with Samaritans, so they turn them away. They say, no, we don't need your help. We're going to build this just as King Cyrus decreed. So they get mad, and it says, the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. So we don't know what that means exactly, but it means the Samaritans were trying to get in the way of the building. And that, no doubt, if we fast forward into Haggai, and now they're not building anymore. So it seems as though their discouragement worked. When we are discouraged, we will move towards things that make us feel encouraged. And so perhaps, you know, they're, that's why perhaps they moved from building the temple to their homes, maybe perhaps just they were discouraged. And we don't really know what the, if the Samaritans actually physically attempted to stop the building. But the Israelites must have believed this, whatever they were saying, or they must have fallen trapped to this discouragement because they stopped building. And Satan will often send discouragement our way when we try to do the work of the Lord. Satan will also tend to send discouragement our way when we're on a spiritual high, you could say. So you know they're on fire for the Lord, they're trying to build the temple, and that's when Satan sends discouragement. Disappointment is inevitable, but discouragement is avoidable. We will be let down, but we mustn't be led astray. So disappointment is inevitable, but discouragement is avoidable. We're always going to, you know, we're going to have expectations, and we're going to be let down. People let us down. The weather lets us down all the time. But discouragement is not being disappointed. Discouragement is, you know, when we dwell on those things. There's a thunderstorm, Pastor. I can't go to the park tomorrow. That's discouragement. And, you know, when we're discouraged, it's going to prevent us from serving the Lord, and now we're just sitting at home moping because can't go to the park with Susie tomorrow. So discouragement is another emotion. The way we get distracted from walking with the Lord is distractions. And as I said, when we're discouraged, we move towards things that'll, you know, encourage us. But there's nothing more encouraging than the Lord. And, you know, those full of pride, you know, they're going to move towards things that say, hey, look at me, look at me. And they're going to look for possessions. When we aren't trusting the Lord, we're going to go to things that make us feel secure. You know, we're going to look, move towards finances. We're going to go to our job. We're going to look for, building our own home. So we see there are many reasons why we get comfortable as Christians. And now we're going to look at the consequences. What happens when we get too comfortable? Number one, we cannot honor God. When we're too comfortable, we cannot honor God. When a Christian gets too comfortable in his Christian life, he will no longer go to any great lengths to serve the Lord. He might have a pattern he follows, like going to church every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, but other than that, there's no additional effort, maybe. When a Christian begins to slack like this, they fail to honor God. And what's the purpose of, you know, our life if we're not here to honor God? Remember, our life is but a vapor, and if we live our life for any type of gain on this earth, then, you know, it's going to be over in a split second. It'll mean nothing in eternity. So, you know, when we get too comfortable, you know, we're just living for now, we're living for what is keeping us comfortable, and, you know, that's going to be it, and that'll be over, and we don't really know. We don't know, but that could be an instant. What is your life's purpose if not to honor God? And where is your life pointing if not to God? If we as Christians who have been saved by his blood refuse to go out of our way to serve the Lord, what does that look like to non-believers? We cannot let laziness keep our lives from honoring God. Because where does our life point? It should be pointed to God. You know, if I owned a company and you worked for me and someone else saw you as my employee, you know, maybe slacking off. What would that say about my company? When non-believers see, if a non-believer sees a Christian who is too comfortable, maybe he's saying, oh yeah, I go to church. What does that say about God? What does that say about us? Another thing that happens when we get too comfortable is God will not bless us. Turn that out. We'll turn back to Haggai. You see, starting in verse 9, going all the way down, verse 9 says, "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is in waste, and ye run every man unto his house. So the Israelites, you know, they're not doing nothing. They're still going out their day, going about their day-to-day life. And it says they go out and they look for material. They, you know, perhaps they're looking for food, wild animals, or trees. It says they come in little. It came to little. So they're not bringing in a lot. And then it says, when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. So I guess the wind is coming down on the buildings they're trying to make. And he says, why? He says, because, you know, you're disobeying me. My house is in waste, and you guys keep going back to your own houses. So God's not going to bless us if we are not in his will and we're choosing our own comfortability, you know, our relaxation over him. God is not going to bless a Christian who isn't following him. If we get into a space where our Christian walk no longer bears fruit, God is going to prune that vine so that it brings forth fruit for him. So if God is not going to bless us, he's going to you know, take away. God will not bless a lifestyle that is distant from him. The ventures that we take while we are away from the Lord, God will not bless those. So, you know, when we choose to sit back and relax, you know, and take things at our own pace, you know, the stuff that we invest in, maybe now God's not going to bless that. You know, if we're distant from the Lord, and then we have something that, you know, we attempt to do, a task we attempt to complete, God's not in it. When we choose to sit back and relax, we cannot expect God to intervene on our behalf, and we can't expect his blessings. And eventually, the lack of blessings from the Lord will outweigh the comfortability we've made for ourselves. So finally, what happens when we get too comfortable is we will lose that comfortability that we sought. We'll lose the comfortability. Sometimes we can become so comfortable living on our own that we only use God as a 911 call. And if we only look to God when we're in trouble, God's going to send us trouble. God wants to speak with us, and he won't mind sending us a couple trials if that's what it takes. Remember, we need to remember that all the riches and wealth we obtain on earth, those will be lost sooner or later. So if we become too comfortable, we become distant from the Lord. We're not listening to him. We don't have our ears open. He's going to need to get our attention somehow. And so he's going to look to what we're relying on, what we're finding. If I find comfortability in my job, he's going to create complications there. If I am finding comfortability in my sealed house, maybe he's going to take that away. We'll never have enough money if that's what it is we're after. And if we can't sacrifice time in our weeks, I doubt that we'll find it. If we can't sacrifice time for the Lord, if we can't plan ahead, we can't make room for him in our schedule, then I doubt free time is just going to show up where I'm ready to serve the Lord. Opportunities to serve the Lord are seldom scheduled, but always on time. Opportunities to serve the Lord are seldom scheduled, but always on time. So, you know, there's opportunities to serve the Lord, and, you know, we don't have them all written down on the calendar. Now we do, you know, praise the Lord for outreach on Saturday. You know, we see places where we can serve the Lord. But there's opportunities that come, you know, throughout the week when we don't expect it. You know, so we don't have it scheduled, but it's on time. And that's when, you know, availability is more important than our comfortability. And so God's going to send in, when we're getting too comfortable, God's going to send us chances to serve the Lord. And that's why we need to be available. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to lose the comfortability that we sought when we become too comfortable. I don't know how many of you have ever had siblings or a friend at a sleepover. When they're asleep and you're trying to wake them up, what do you do? You know, they're not waking up. Usually, what I do with my siblings is you rip the blanket off. You got to take the blanket off first, because that's what's keeping them comfortable. You got to rip the the blanket off. I've gotten to a point where I've poured water on them sometimes, but that's, you usually don't, the Lord doesn't go that far. But, you know, I ripped the blanket off because they're comfortable under there. That's what's keeping them asleep. So just a funny illustration. But if we become too comfortable to the point where we've strayed from the Lord, God will have no issue taking away whatever it is keeping us comfortable. So figuratively, God's going to rip away that blanket, and that, because that's what's keeping us comfortable. And it doesn't matter how innocent it is. You know, if it's just you work a good job, it's not sinning. But if that's what's keeping you away from the Lord, God might just have to rip it away. So that's what happens when we become too comfortable. And now onto my final point. What can we do to prevent ourselves from becoming too comfortable? Because it's often something that, you know, goes unnoticed. It can go unnoticed if we get into a rhythm of things. So how do we abstain from getting too comfortable and stay in the will of God? There are three types of Christians that, there's three things that we need to have in our Christian life. The first, number one being, we need to be searching Christians. The way to stay in God's will is to be looking for it. God can't use us if we aren't listening to his voice. And God can't use us if we aren't looking in his word. Remember that Christians have a relationship with God. Sunday and Wednesday relationship. We need to be looking into his word each day. We need to be talking to him more than, you know, just at the dinner table. That's, you know, because if that's all it is, that's how we're going to eventually become too comfortable. We're going to get into a rhythm, and it won't mean as much as it should. So, you know, when's the last time that we as Christians spoke to him? And when is the last time we read the book he wrote for us? When is the last time, you know, we heard our Heavenly Father speak to us? I don't mean, you know, a loud booming voice, but when's the last time the Holy Spirit urged you to do something? The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and if you ever feel like you can say, I don't feel or I don't hear God speaking to me, perhaps that is, you know, that's more likely I'm not listening. I'm not searching. We need to be in God's word every day, searching for God's will. At college, we had to do a lot of reading. We had to do a lot of reading. And all you had to do was read from page X to page Y. That's all the teacher required from you. There wasn't any book report or anything. There was an occasional book report, but there wasn't any follow-up usually. So I was just, you know, you're reading because they were good books to read. But something my teacher would always say, because quite frankly we needed to hear it, he said, read for comprehension, not completion. Because, you know, I have, you know, Old Testament survey. When I have to read from page 179 to 210, you know, it can be easy to just almost like scroll through those words and get those done. But then, you know, we're not comprehending anything. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, I would hope you feel obligated to do your devotions in the morning. But sometimes, you know, that's all it can be. And we just read the Bible, and we're just looking at words. They go in one ear and come out the next. We need to, you know, really read our Bible. And we need to be searching Christians, because that's where we'll find God's will. Or else we can just fall into a rhythm of comfortability. You know, we need to be praying to our Father all the time. You know, again, not just a 911 call. We need to be diligently trying to talk to him throughout our day. So we need to be searching Christians, or else we'll become too comfortable. And we also need to be available Christians, or else we'll become too comfortable. Available Christians. In our passage, the Israelites put their own needs above the will of God. They wanted to be secure rather than to serve. And, you know, security is something that we all want. And, you know, it's normal for us to desire those things. But sometimes we'll need to stick our head out for the Lord. And, you know, I want to say, you know, we need to stick our head out for the Lord. I want to say, take the risk. You know, we need to be willing to take the risk. But there isn't a risk, really. when you make an investment, you know, in some sort of stock, you know, if you do, there's, you know, you're taking a risk. And we don't gamble here, but, you know, if you do, if you were to, that's taking a risk. You know, you don't have a guarantee or anything. You know, you step out in hope. That's all it is. You step out hoping, you know, your endeavor will be worth it. You don't know if, you know, your money's going to go up, going to go down. So we're stepping out in hope. But when the Lord asks you to get out of your comfort zone, you can step out in faith.
Amen.
We can step out in faith. We can step out trusting that God will provide. We can step out, you know, in faith financially, knowing that God will provide. And because I have here, don't tell God about rent or inflation when he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's helpful. You can step out in, you know, in faith, so financially, knowing God will provide for you. And you can also step out in faith in, you know, in ministry, knowing God will give you the ability to serve him.
Amen.
Moses, you know, he told the Lord, I can't do this. He said, I have a speech impediment. He said, I'm not capable. I don't have the ability. But God gave him that ability to do it. You know, he eventually would free the Israelites. So God has every ability ready for you. He just needs you to be an available Christian. And finally, on how we can prevent ourselves from becoming too comfortable in our daily life. We need to be obedient Christians. Obedient Christians. God wants obedient Christians. He needs Christians who won't be scared to step out of their comfort zone to serve him. He wants Christians who know he's in charge. He can't use a Christian who regularly think they know best. And he can't bless a Christian who gets too comfortable as soon as those blessings come. He won't bless a Christian who will forget about the giver as soon as the gift arrives. God needs us as Christians to be actively serving him when we can. And God knows, you know, we need rest, we need relaxation. Comfortability is a good thing. It's good to be comfortable. There's a part in our passage we're going to look back at. It's repeated twice. It's in, it's in verse 5. We're going to read it. It says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And it says the same in verse 7. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So, you know, I'm not saying to you right now in this message, hey, are you working a job that you rely on? That's not good. Are you living in a house that you you really appreciate? That's not good. Are you not going to church 5 days a week? That's not good. Are you not serving the Lord in some specific ministry in the church? Why are you so comfortable? Why isn't your life full of stress? That's not what I'm saying. It says here, God says to his people, he says, "Consider your ways." It's repeated. It says, "Consider your ways." So, dear Christian, I want you to consider your ways. You know, comfortability in itself is not a bad thing. But if we take some time to consider it, think about it. Is it comfortability that we have? Or is it laziness? You know, is this, are we relying on this too much to the point where we've forgotten about God? Is what we're doing just a pattern? Are we so comfortable? Are we so comfortable keeping a rhythm, keeping a habit, that we've forgotten what it really means? That's what it's saying. Not all of us, you know, have time to read our Bible, to read a whole chapter. But you know, if we get a verse in, that's good. And that can get just as much, that can get a lot more than a person reading 5 chapters every morning out of a pattern. So it's not how much we're serving the Lord, it's not like how much we're doing for the Lord, how active we are for the Lord. It's about the meaning behind it. Some people can't, you know, they really can't make as much time in their week to serve the Lord. You know, we work jobs, and if, you know, that doesn't mean it's wrong. because someone's going to be busier than someone else. Someone's going to have more free time than someone else. And that's why it really spoke to me, consider your ways. Each of us needs to look at it. We need to pray about it. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for our own, we need to look, not judge other people, but look at our own specific shoes and what we're dealing with and think, am I too comfortable? Don't, think, he put in 4 hours of service this week. That's all I need to do. We need to look at, what God has given us, the gifts, the job, the house, everything he's given us, and ask if we're relying on that. If we're prioritizing this, consider your ways. So, being comfortable in itself is not wrong. But if we become too comfortable to the point where we're not honoring God, that's a problem. And eventually, God's going to have to deal with that. The final, from verses 9 to 11, says nothing good. It says, therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from the dew. The earth is stayed from her fruit. So the people disobey, and not even now that the ground is not prospering. And verse 11 says, I called upon a drought upon the land. And it goes down that entire verse. It's all negative things. It's all God trying to call the Israelites back. He's not, in a way, it is out of anger, but it's not just him punishing. This isn't just, wrath. It's him trying to bring the Israelites back. And, sometimes it's not everything's going to be accomplished the easy way. I didn't have this illustration ready, but it came to me while I was cleaning up after work. I don't know if how many of you can see this stain on my finger. It's on the rest of my hand. But that's resin I was working with today. I was painting some stuff with it, and it got onto my hand. And so the easiest way to get it off, I think most of you would think, is just for me to wash my hands. But what this resin is it's waterproofing resin. So we use it to patch holes so water doesn't get in. So its whole purpose is to keep water off. So I can't wash this off with water. The only way for me to get this off is for me to scrub it while it's dry. I need to scrape it off, and I have to scratch myself. So it's that's just an illustration I thought of. I thought it was funny that to clean things up, it's gonna have to. I have to kind of get a little uncomfortable. I wish it would be nice if it came off with just water, but I'm gonna have to. When I go home, I'm gonna have to rub this off with a towel or something until it comes off. So being uncomfortable is not a bad thing, and especially if we are trusting in God. When stressful times come, if we're trusting in God, we can have more joy than someone in a comfortable setting without the Lord. So we need to be searching Christians. We need to be looking into God's word. We need to be listening to him. We need to be available Christians. We need to make time. We need to be willing. And we need to be obedient Christians. We need to look into our hearts, not other people's. We need to look at our schedule and look at our bank account and think and ask ourselves, consider our ways and see, are we too comfortable? Do we have space to serve the Lord? It's not for me to say, hey, you need to become uncomfortable. It's for you to decide whether or not you should do more for the Lord. So being too comfortable, we can't allow it. And we need to assure that we always give the Lord 100%. We need to give him our best. We need to give him all that we can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. I pray that this message has spoken to someone, Lord. It's spoken to me, Lord. We pray that we just trust you, Lord, and that we'd rely on you, and we wouldn't become too comfortable as soon as you bless us, Lord. As soon as we obtain something, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't rely on it. And when you bless us, Lord, I pray that we would not forget all that you've done for us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would always continue to search for you, Lord, search for you in your word. Pray that we'd be available Christians, Lord. always willing to serve you, Lord, no matter what, Lord, no matter how uncomfortable we need to be, Lord, no matter how stressful the situation, Lord, or seemingly impossible the trial, Lord. I pray that we would always trust you and that we would understand that the only way we can find true joy and true comfortability is in you, Lord. Pray that we'd be obedient Christians, Lord. Pray that you'd help us to consider our ways each day, Lord. Every single day, Lord, we pray that see time that you have given us, Lord, those 24 hours. Pray that we would make time for you, Lord. Pray that we would, Lord, the opportunities to serve you are seldom scheduled, Lord, but they're always on time. I pray that we would make use of that. You send these divine opportunities our way, Lord. Pray that we would use them, Lord. I ask that you bless us this evening, Lord. Pray for the prayer request, the prayer page that we will go over, Lord. I ask these things in your name. Amen.